People have said to me through the weeks, you know, thank you for the morning devotionals. And I really, you know, get edified by them, so I'm encouraged. And then regarding the messages that the Lord is giving us, that we have such a beautiful spirit in our church, amazing fellowship, and a great team of people, you know, just amazing. Ryan, oh, we got over here Dana and James from Tennessee. Yeah, drove in. So any other visitors here tonight? Dana and James, any new visitors here tonight? Okay, we welcome you. And then what was it saying? Yeah, the international, right? And the team. And I don't think I'm just working with the most awesome people that are just so encouraging. And the times we live in, and the Spirit of God in my day-to-day life, so important. The Spirit of God in my day-to-day life. Wow. Really, how many of you have faced new challenges in your life in the last 24 hours? No, I mean, in the last, you know, like what? In the last year, about it. Okay. How about new, kind of new things and to learn, what does God think about it? What is He doing, you know? How does God think about us? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. What does God think about us? And I want to explain that. And many of you know this scripture, Mark 15 in verse 39. Now, when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." So this is what I want to speak about. This man saw Jesus on the cross dying. He saw other things. There was an earthquake. He saw it. He saw the man, Jesus, on the cross dying. And what did he see? What did he see? Two things he saw. And let's draw a picture here. Are we ready for the message? Do we go right at it? Or what do you think? I need to get the feedback. I mean, the size of this congregation is overwhelming. Yeah! Oh, yeah! Hey, good to see you. Wow, amazing. All right, calm down. They're on the internet, they're calling the police right now. Okay, so praise the Lord. Yeah, so how many want to hear just one simple word from Bill Alexson? Do you want to stand up and say one thing? Turn around and tell him that Billy Graham is alive and doing very well.
But the bottom line is this. God is up to it. We need to keep our eyes on Him. Paul said, "I prayed that He would take it away from me three times. I had this thorn in the flesh." He said, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And it was, if you remember, when Mary and Martha were very nervous about Jesus. "I thought He loved Lazarus. Where was He? What's He doing?" He wasn't going to do what He normally does and heal people. He was going to resurrect him from the dead. He wanted to do something greater for the glory of God. He'd say, "Well, I feel so weak. I feel so nervous." That's what God wants. Yeah. He doesn't want our ability. He wants our availability. He doesn't want our strength. We want to be in control of things. God wants to part the Red Sea so that when he does it in our life, the world's going to see that it's God. He'll get all the glory. And you remember, you think, but boy, when I watch the TV and I see what's going on, I'm a human being, I get nervous. How am I going to end up? You're going to end up just like King Hezekiah if we keep our eyes on him. Why? King Ahasuerus from Assyria, annihilated all the countries surrounding Israel. And then because he was very arrogant, he sent a letter to King Hezekiah, and he said, listen, I took care of this country, that country. I brought their kings back. They're enslaved to me now. Don't think that your God is going to do any different. And what did the king do? He went right to prayer. He sought God. And you know what happened? Overnight, 250,000 Assyrians get some kind of plague. They died. And in the museum in London, there's a cuneiform tablet that chronicles this guy's exploits. It says, I went to this country, took care of these guys. And then the last thing is on the cuneiform thing is, I had Hezekiah caged in like a bird. But you know what? There's nothing written after that. You can go to London and see it now. God is up to it. Globally, he's preparing his church. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. He said to Moses. Moses complained, hey, they're ready to stone me. He said, look, do what I told you to do. Lift up your staff and say, stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. And then the waters parted. And then what looked like was the worst thing that could happen. Like, God, you've forsaken us. Mountains on both sides. The Red Sea, here comes the chariots. It was perfect timing for the glory of God. And he took care of his people. Jesus is coming back. We're his people. He's not going to forsake us. And by the way, Pastor Shell, this is all Joshua and Caleb's here tonight. This is all Caleb. That's supposed to be humorous, but that's okay. So anyways, to sum it up and give it back to Pastor Schaller, we're in the right place at the right time. God knows what he's doing. Keep your eyes on him. The Bible says that never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Something great is going to happen. Something great is happening. And if the only great thing was that we're being conformed to the image of Christ and we get more focused on God, that's success. But he's going to do much, much more. And the Lord's coming back. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh.
Thank you. Wow. That was awesome. That was awesome. That's right along what I want to say in the message. It goes right along.
And they're going to think this is funny.
They're going to think you and I.
You're going to call me up there.
You knew I was going to call you up. And when I saw you, I go, I need to call on him.
And you know, I'm not subjective like that.
No, and you were prepared. You had the message.
I was.
And you're going to know at the end of the service that it's the same as what I'm thinking, what I want to share. This wasn't planned. I mean, we just did this. Yeah, that's great. I don't know either. Yeah, so awesome. Here we go. Ready? That was a good warm-up. I started the message. I go, no, I got to talk to you. So here we are. When Jesus was on the cross, what did it look like? The centurion soldier had seen many people die. But when he saw this man die, he saw there was something different, you know. When this happened, he saw something. This is the Son of God. Truly, this is the Son of God. So I'd like you to turn to the main text for our message of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this, by the way, was a text that my wife shared with me this morning. And we had a talk about it. And I go, I feel that that's what the Lord wants to share tonight. So here we are. And And if you go to chapter 4, and we can look at verse 6. We're going to go to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, these verses. So we'll go to verse, probably to verse 12. Yes, verse 12. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Question: is there anything in your heart that came from God? Is there light that has come into your heart? Verse 6, it says, the God commanded light to shine out of darkness. When did he do that? When did he actually do it in our Bible? When did he command light to shine out of darkness? In Genesis, in the beginning. Well, he uses that to say it also happened when you got saved. He commanded the light to shine in your heart. That happened when you got saved. So the parallel. In Genesis, he said, let there be light, and there was. Now you get saved. He says, given them light, and light came into your heart. This is called a treasure in an earthen vessel. You have an earthen vessel like this. Here's a, we can draw one of these jars like this, earthen vessel. And in there is something precious, a treasure inside the earthen vessel. That's like, this is your human body, is the earthen vessel. And the treasure is the light of the of God, the light of God in your heart, in the earthen vessel. Let's read it, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's an earthen vessel? Made out of clay. What does this mean to us? That we have a mortal body. We have a human body. We have a human body that gets sick. We have a human body that gets tired. Anybody notice that? We have a human body that gets thirsty. We have a human body that gets hungry. We have a human body that gets a fever, a cough, a flu, COVID, cancer. We have a human body that gets old, aches and pains and little clicks and ticks and things when you get up out of bed, the little creaking of the joints and these things. What's that called? Earthen vessel. Earthen vessel. I want to also show you something here. When Jesus died on the cross, what do you see there but an earthen vessel? What do you see when Jesus is dying on the cross, a man hanging on a cross? Earthen vessel. What do you mean, earthen vessel? Bleeding. What do you mean? He's in pain. What do you mean, earthen vessel? Yes, he's thirsty. I thirst. What did the centurion see? The centurion saw earthen vessel. Do you know that the world we live in today is talking so much about the earthen vessel that some of us are tired of it? Earthen vessel this and that. Earthen vessel. This is what life is, earthen vessel. Disease, sickness, death. But what did Paul say here about it? Verse 7. But we have this treasure. What one? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's draw another little diagram. None of this is really particularly like something you haven't already thought of, but I want to provoke you in the text and thinking about what is being said here. Because it's, even though it's very, it's simple, but it's profound. You see, sometimes Christians feel that we shouldn't get sick. Sometimes we feel we shouldn't be weak. Maybe we shouldn't have an earthen vessel. Maybe our whole life is about our treasure. But actually, it seems that Jesus' death on the cross is a combination of two things, a earthen vessel and a treasure. And when the centurion saw him die, he didn't see him come off the cross and go like, you know, I win. I come down from the cross. And then they say, the Son of God. No, he saw him die. Let's make a list, please. When he died, what happened? He was alone. Where were his friends? He was alone. He died with thieves on the side, the two sides of the cross, one on each side, but he was essentially alone. Nobody understood him. He had no fellowship with anybody. His father had forsaken him. I read that word forsake because I was curious about it and tried to understand what it means in the scripture. God will not forsake you. It's when somebody passes somebody in a race and they're way ahead of the other person, and the other person is left behind. They're forsaken. God will never forsake you. Even if he has all the power to pass you, all the power to be strong, victorious, winning, our Father is with us, with our earthen vessel, and says, this is my plan. I want you to have an earthen vessel. I want you to know, I want you to live, I want you to not cover it. I don't want you to be ashamed of it. Let's go to the list here. He was alone and he was shamed on the cross. Why? He was naked. What else was there? He was guilty of our sin. He was thirsty. He was forsaken. As we said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This death of Jesus, undoubtedly the demons, because we read about the demons around him on the cross in Psalm 22. By the way, Psalm 22 is that inside picture of what was going on in Jesus on the cross. The bulls of Bashan were around him. They were wagging their tongues. They were cursing him. That he was rejected of men, that he was forsaken, that he was put down, he was ridiculed. But in that, the centurion saw, it's almost like, look again. What do you see? I see truly the Son of God. How can you see that? How can you see that? It's a shame. It's foolish. It's wrong. I see it. I see it. I can't help but see it. I see it. It's God. God is here. God is in that. That's amazing. God is here. That's what this is saying. So let's look at it. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, this death that I described up on the cross is, listen to this carefully, this is called the dying of the Lord Jesus. The dying of the Lord Jesus. And it says that we are bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. We are bearing about in our bodies is something very similar. No, we're not atoning for the sin of the world. No, we're not dying like Jesus did on that cross. No, it's not the same. But yes, God is saying yes. It's very similar. That they're going to say you are wrong when you aren't. But it's okay, because I've got a treasure. When I misunderstood, that we could put that there too. I misunderstood. I'm considered to be guilty when actually I'm innocent. But that's okay, because I've got God in my life. I got God happening in my life. That's amazing. Look at it. It says, verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not, I believe in the Greek it means, not overly perplexed. We are perplexed, but not to the point where, by the way, the first part of the verse has to do with the present, and the second part has to do with the future. I am hard pressed on every side in the present, but I can survive it because I've got a treasure. I am perplexed or confused about my future, but not utterly confused, like I've lost my way entirely. I know Him. I know God. Yeah, but it looks bad. I know it does, but don't worry about it. I got it. God is with me. God is present. God is the answer for my life. This is amazing. You know, in this last 8 months or 9 months, whatever time this has been going on for, we've gone through different periods as a church. We have seen many things, and we've grown a lot. I feel it in my heart. There's a maturing, a growing. There's love. There's faith. And listen to this part. And there is not the fear of shame. We're not afraid of shame. This is very good. We're not afraid of looking bad. We're not afraid of being put down. We're not trying to cover up. We don't have an image that we have to protect. We have earthen vessels. We stumble. We fail. We are thirsty or tired or sick or afraid or worried. But the other thing in it is that even though an earthen vessel is part of the picture, we have found the treasure, the word, the truth, the joy, the freedom, the mission, the ministry. The ministry, isn't it amazing? The Apostle Paul is saying, you can't stop it. You put me in prison, it'll bubble out of me. I'm at Caesar's house. Remember Justin said it Sunday night, that he said to the Philippians, and the people of Caesar's house greet you. And the Philippians is thinking, oh my gosh, put the Apostle Paul under house arrest and they end up evangelizing people in Caesar's household. And the praetorium and the soldiers that were with him during the daytime. Because though I have an earthen vessel and it may not look good as far as like a Hollywood image, this Hollywood image is not the purpose of God. The purpose of God is the earthen vessel is fragile and is being broken. And when you see him on the cross dying, in what the world would say, not a good image. That's not how Christianity grows. Christianity will not grow by that image. And the Apostle Paul is saying, on the contrary, it's in that image where the centurion said, truly, this is the Son of God. This is reality. These people are for real. There is life there. There's a ministry there. You know, one of the blessings in the mission field was that you could go anywhere in the world and this works. And there's nothing about there's no pretense. There's nothing, you know, American about it in that sense. Like, it doesn't have to be strong, beautiful, powerful, smart, intelligent, polished, professional. No, that's not our message. Ah, hallelujah. That's not our message. That's amazing. What is it? The dying of the Lord Jesus. Look at the text, please. It goes, verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always, here it is, verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to say that I still wonder about what that means. Bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I tried to explain it up on the board, and maybe this is what it means. The dying of the Lord Jesus. Thirsty. Demons are around him. He's alone, shame, guilty, misunderstood. This is the dying of the Lord Jesus. What else would it mean? This is how he died. And in my body, I'm carrying about with me something very similar. The shame of death. It's a shame when a man loses his teeth, hair, strength, muscles, gets weaker, hunched over, lays in bed, was different 30 years earlier. Now he's the shell of a man. Well, how does that relate to? Well, if in my earthen vessel there is a plant for humiliation, then let's acknowledge that and say, I'm looking for God in my humiliation. Let's, if I feel that people misunderstand me and I feel that I'm somehow alone, then let's accept the fact this is what Jesus faced. This is the way it was, and I can find God in it. I can find God in this life with a lot of questions and a lot of emptiness and curse. This is a curse on man. That's fine. This is what he's saying. I believe this is what he means. Look at verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life of Jesus, is that what the centurion saw? Did he see the dying of the Lord Jesus, and did he see the life of the Lord Jesus on the cross? Did he see the life of the Lord Jesus when he was dying? Yes, maybe he heard Jesus talk to the thief. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Yes, maybe he heard him say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Did he see the life of the Lord Jesus when Jesus was on the cross? Now, what does this mean for us? It means that the life that we are now living must be not about our earthen vessel alone. And I'm afraid that's like, if you are a person like a, you know, like a person that's just kind of living and just in some neutral mindset, then you're going to be filled with the fears and the worries of the earthen vessel. You might even try to cover the shame of it. You might all want to live in denial of it. You might want to like just kind of live in some kind of artificial idea about reality. The answer is, I don't want to live in the denial of my humanity or mortal flesh or earthen vessel, but I'm very hungry and thirsty for the treasure. This is what we're feeding on. What happens? Ministry happens. Back in, we had services here. This was an empty chapel for 10 weeks or something, 8 or 10 or 12, I don't remember. Pastor Shabali, myself, and others were preaching to an empty chapel during the spring, if you remember. And we just said, hey, let's get moved. Let's have outreach. We got to do outreach. We got to reach the area. We got to go down, got to go into the neighborhoods. And Pastor Gary Grunewald and Pastor Ronaldo Brown and others here, with those guys and Pat Lynch and Jen and different ones. And I mean, we had 80 kids on the basketball court every night for a while through the summer. June Alive is what we called it. June Alive. What does that mean? We're not afraid. We're not afraid, not worried about a thing. We're ministering. You know, this period of time that we're in, you and I need to realize that this is God, that God is with us. We need to realize this is God. This is about learning ministry. This isn't about anything other than like finding Jesus Christ in our everyday life and realizing what his plan is. It's awesome. So look at verse 10. It says that the life of Jesus also might be manifest in our body. I was thinking of Carolyn Peters in Serbia and the team, Pastor Thomas and Ava, Stefan Stein, all the Finns. The amazing work happened in Lapland this past summer. The vision that Pastor Matti had to get a building up in Lapland, way north of the Arctic Circle, and all the many, I think they said 11 Finnish pastors, 80 people through the summer. They just had a vision and a work for the Arctic, the Lapland. And they did it. How many good things have happened because of the treasure in our earthen vessel? Sharon Earwing returned to Albania recently. Dan Dunbar lives in Korea. The precious people, Scott and Laura, and the Sabo brothers and the Sabo family, and the brothers in Central Asia, and Toir, Emil, they've had the COVID, the family, Pastor Emil, Toir has had it, COVID, and they have a ministry in Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan, and things go on. How the Post family and Nepal and many people that just say, yeah, I have an earthen vessel. But the life, the dying of the Lord Jesus, and then the life of Jesus is manifested. Pastor Carl, more than eight years ago, diagnosed with ALS, they said he has 6 months to a year and a half to live. Wow. His wife, Susie, and Andrew. And Pastor Carl, I was going every year and seeing him year after year, and he lived 8.5 years. And I have no idea, except, yeah, must be. It was the dying of the Lord Jesus, just like up there. Just horrible. But in his eyes, in his face, in his, he had a time when he could move one, this like this thumb could move like this, so he typed on the phone his message. It took him 6 hours to type out his message for Sunday. He typed it out with his thumb like this, with joy. I'm like, whew, with joy. Jesus, I see you, Jesus. I see you. But not everybody sees it. They're too hard. They're too judgmental. They're too arrogant. They're too self-righteous. There's shame, you know, to be on the cross like that is shameful. That's wrong. It's like nothing is there. This is weakness, foolishness. This is a shame. Don't put it away from me. I don't want to hear about your foolish life. I don't want to hear about your stuff. You know, I want to see something big and beautiful and powerful and strong. That's what I'm looking for. God is saying, no. No, yeah, if you want to find me, you better look again. Because I'm here. I'm everywhere around you. But it's not like men see it. It's like the way I am. I am different from you. I'm not proud. I'm not blind. I'm loving. I'm caring. I'm serving. I'm kind. I'm forgiving. I'm saying forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. I remember years ago, Pastor Lange in Hungary preached a message on that in the 90s maybe. I was listening to it, and he said very simply, Jesus said, you don't know what you're doing. And he simply said, and Jesus said that because nobody here, nobody there, nobody in this world really knows what they're doing. Who knows what we're doing? Do we really know what we're doing? Do we know what we're doing? Hey, do we know what we're doing? It's ridiculous if we think we know what we're doing. Yes, all I know is that God has said that there is a treasure in us, and that treasure is the point of life, and it's what people need. And it's why Paul is saying this. That's why you should not judge your brother. That's why you should not judge your sister. That's why we are to be loving and forgiving. That's why we are to be prayerful and supporting, because we all need the treasure. We have enough of the earthen vessels. We just all are looking for Jesus in life. Amen? That's what we want. We want Jesus in life. So look at the next part. It says, verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Well, there it is. That's the message. It's such a good one. It's something to think about, to love and enjoy. It's like where we're at in life in many ways. I think this period of time, we'll go through some periods, another chapter this way, another chapter that way. Maybe our country is moving in a direction. Maybe we'll be surprised at how things go. We don't know. But are you ready to be faithful? Are you and I geared up for what life really is? Are we really prepared and are we learning? Yes, the answer is yes. We wouldn't be here if we weren't hungry for it. But because we are, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. We'll find it. We'll enjoy it. And then we'll say in the like in the prison cell with the Apostle Paul, you know, he's there with the guard, and he can say to him, you know, have you enjoyed being here with me? Yeah, you're an interesting person. Like, why are you so happy, or why are you so thankful? You know, what's going on? Oh, just, you know, I've got a visitor coming in, and you can be in our fellowship. You will listen. I mean, the prison guard was at that point, he was in house arrest, and Paul was even paying his own rent. But the Roman guards were there guarding him as a prisoner. But it was like a free kind of, and people could come and go and listen to this professor, scholar, rabbi, Christian, apostle talk. And it was a lot more than just knowledge. It was a treasure. It was spiritual life. It was joy. It was ministry. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. God gave it to you. You've got it. Enjoy it. Worship God with it. Have a party with it. Do the hallelujahs. Sing a lot. Rejoice a lot. Have a bounce in your step and have a ministry. Today I was out walking with my wife, and we crossed the road, and it was, you know, the black asphalt in the street. And I said, let's go. And I said, touch my hand. No, don't touch my hand. I'm crossing over the river, and I can't feel the bottom of the river, you know. She goes, what are you talking about? I go, John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. And she goes, well, what is it about? What do you mean? I said, it's at the end of the journey. He's crossing over the river of death to the celestial city. You can't go to the city without going through the river. But you have to go alone. But I want you with me. But you can't be with me when I go through death. I must be alone. Look at the screen. You have to be alone in death. It's a shame. Can you feel the bottom of the river? No, I'm out of control. I can't feel the bottom. Death is overwhelming me. And just as he's like feeling the whole strength of death, then he feels the bottom, and he's on the other side. Whoa, Lisa. I can't. You're going to go with me. You can't. I want you to go with me. You can't go with me. You can't. Wow. It's going to be overwhelming. Death will be overwhelming. But it's okay. It's the earthen vessel. And disease is part of it. It's part of life. Death. And many other things. And we're not hiding from it. C.S. Lewis said, we are the ones, maybe Chesterton said it too, we are the ones that can look at reality in the face and say, that river is a fearsome river, I do, but I've got to go through it to get to the city. And nobody wants to go through death in one sense. But the promise by Jesus is, if you believe me, you will not taste. You will see the glory of God. And that if you believe in my word, then you've already passed from death into life. And I think that's why in one part of the story, if I remember correctly, he couldn't feel the bottom, or he was so afraid and he couldn't feel the bottom, and he was overwhelming him. And then in a short time, then he could feel it. Meaning he tasted the death, but actually Jesus had tasted the death for him. And that he passed from death unto life, you know, in that way of illustrating it. And I'm just trying to say tonight that both of these are realities. If you ask the centurions, and maybe I'm going long, but I just am enjoying this so much, I got to repeat it and I'm finishing. But that centurion's servant, soldier saw the horrible reality, and then he looked again and he saw, truly, this is the Son of God. And I believe that when our Christianity is that kind of reality, people kind of look again and they go, they got it. It's not a game. It's not a Hollywood production. It's not an empty sham. They got it. I want it. I want it. That's what we're delighting in tonight. This is our rejoicing. Some of you people, and I'm not saying to you guys here, but just to the whole world, and in principle, I'm not even thinking of any name or any person, but I just say some of you people are so immature regarding this subject that you are shallow and superficial and judgmental and narrow, and you have a misconception about what this whole thing, life, is about. It's not about you looking good. It's about Jesus Christ knowing you. It's about not about getting life your way. It's about you finding who Jesus Christ is. Like, life is shallow for so many people. It's about, my life has got to be this way or this way, and this is the image I want, and this is a good testimony to my neighbors, and the moral life, and many other ideas. It's way too shallow. It's like, you and I are called with a divine calling, and it's so precious, and it's a mystery. You can't reproduce it. The flesh cannot reproduce it. You cannot manufacture it. I remember this story. Now I really am going on. I'm rambling. Now I got to. I really am finishing. Billy Graham, our famous evangelist, American, amazing revivalist, 1946, 47, through the 50s and 60s. Billy Graham, one of our heroes, had a school for preachers. And men went to the school to be effective evangelists and preachers like Billy Graham. But nobody could produce a Billy Graham. Why? Because Billy Graham doesn't come from the flesh. Billy Graham can't be produced by men. Billy Graham was a calling. Billy Graham, that was a gift of God. That was a treasure in an earthen vessel. What has happened, however, in the school, for sure, men of God have learned and been trained, and they have their gifts and their portion. And it's the same thing in what we're talking about tonight. Your life is unique. Your gift set is unique, and your calling is unique. And your place is irreplaceable. And you have a place in His plan. And it is that one day your earthen vessel will be like this, what we're talking about. And it is that way tonight. And that we are glorying in and rejoicing in the fact that we've got something. I might not always see it. I might not always experience it. I might not always know what that is there, what it is in my own life. But I can live by faith in Him. And it's up to Him what He's doing. Amen. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Just want to do a prayer a little bit for our missionaries tonight also. Father, there are men and women, Karen Collins and Stan, Pastor Bruce and Robin. We think of Dominique. We think of people in the Caribbean, precious African pastors, Indians. We have the Mumbai conference tomorrow on Zoom meeting. It's been through the week. We have people that are laboring in Cambodia, Doug and Bethany, Ryan and Jars, the Thai pastors, Alex, Tanya, Arm, and Eck and others that are, Alex and others that are serving. And they feel many times the earthen vessel reality. And we just pray for them tonight in Siberia, in Moscow, Pastor Teplov, Polish pastors, Hungarian pastors, Ukrainians, Romanians, for Dragon, for Tony and Cooper and Isabella, Paul and Lati, Pastor Texier, Johan, David Roquette and Mina, Pastor Boyce, Pastor Morley, Joyce, Margetta, many of people that we love and follow in our hearts. Michael Toll, Tanya. We follow them in our hearts, Lord. And then we pray your blessing on them in every way. Anyone here tonight, not a believer on the internet, come to Jesus, please. Come to Jesus tonight by faith in Jesus' name. Please come to Jesus and say, I need you, Jesus. Come into my heart and give the light of the glory of God into my heart. As you commanded light out of darkness, so shine this spiritual light in my heart. I pray. Amen.